Today we have a few readings from the Word of God. The first you find in Leviticus chapter 7. Opening your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 7. Be reading verses 11 through 18. And then also in chapter 22, verses 26 through 33. And then over in Hebrews chapter 13. Since God is truly doing what we just considered from Psalm 15, assembling his people, let's pray and ask that the Lord would give us hearts and a right disposition as his word is read and preached to us today. Father, as we draw near under your assembling power by your word, we join with those who in ages past and even this current day have gathered to hear your voice speaking truly and mightily in the scripture. And we ask that you'd give us ears to hear, hearts that will receive, and minds that will understand the truth as it is in Jesus, and bring forth what is honorable in your sight as fruit. We pray for instruction, we ask for insight, and that, Lord, you would fill out our understanding of how Christ is the point and the main end in all that we'll read. And Lord, guide our hearts to love him, to be full of knowledge that we might serve him with a new heart. Bless your word as it's read and preached, heard, and applied. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Leviticus 7, verse 11. Moses writes, "Now this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which shall be presented to the Lord. If he offers it by way of thanksgiving, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he shall offer unleavened cakes mixed with oil and unleavened wafers spread with oil and cakes of well-stirred fine flour mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall present his offering with cakes of leavened bread. And of this he shall present one of every offering is a contribution to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offerings. Now, as for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving peace offerings, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it over until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a votive or a free will offering, shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice. And on the next day, what is left of it may be eaten, but what is left over from the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. So if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings should ever be eaten on the third day, he who offers it shall not be accepted, and it shall not be reckoned to his benefit. It shall be an offensive thing, and the person who eats of it shall bear his own iniquity." And Leviticus 22, verse 26, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when an ox or a sheep or a goat is born, it shall remain 7 days with its mother. And from the eighth day on, it shall be accepted as a sacrifice of an offering by fire to the Lord. But whether it is an ox or a sheep, you shall not kill both it and its young in one day. And when you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten on the same day. You shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. And you shall not profane my holy name, but I will be sanctified among the sons of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out from the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord." In Hebrews 13 in the New Testament, reading verse 8 through 16, after the writer to the Hebrews has been explaining how Christ is the end goal of all the Old Testament, verse 8 of chapter 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were thus occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. We'll end our reading here. This is the word of God. There is an acceptable way to do many things. There's an acceptable way to do many things. For some things, it really doesn't matter how you do them. Things like arranging your furniture or going for a walk and which route you take. But for others, there are some things that there's an acceptable way to do them, and they must be done a certain way. Like filling out an official form or building a car that people can safely drive. What is the acceptable way to give thanks? Have you ever wondered about that? Or even thought of that? Have you ever thought about the acceptable way to give thanks? Can you do it just any way? Or is there an acceptable way? I assure you that if you just rush right into the matter of giving thanks, you may go no further than the world does, or end up where the world does. They give thanks, but the world often doesn't mention the object of thanksgiving, namely God himself. In the world, there may be a being thankful, but considering that only in relation to themselves receiving and not much to God who's giving. In the world, they may consider it in terms of what they have gained, but not in terms of some sacrifice by another to them, whether it's God or whether it's a mere man or woman. Weigh this matter of being thankful and thanksgiving and giving thanks carefully. Weigh it solemnly and weigh it believingly. Unlike the world, give acceptable thanks. Thank God acceptably and give thanks, as our passage in Leviticus has said, that you may be accepted. There is such a thing as an acceptable thanksgiving. God requires that of every thanker, even you and me. As Moses wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Leviticus 22, verse 29, when you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. In that vein, chapter 7, verse 18, if any of the flesh of the sacrifice should ever be eaten on the third day, he who offers it shall not be accepted. God requires an acceptable thanksgiving whenever he is thanked. Abel and his offering were accepted. Cain and his offering were rejected. So just what is the acceptable way to give thanks? Acceptable thanks are given to God when done according to these two truths that come out in our passage. The first one is Christ's sacrifice, which is the ground of thanksgiving. The second is our sacrifice, which is an expression of thanks. So there's Christ's sacrifice, the ground of thanks, and then there is your and my sacrifice, which is the expression of our own personal thanksgiving. We take these each in turn. The first one, of Christ's sacrifice, the ground of thanks. Your chief concern in life should be to know whether you are acceptable to God and how you can be accepted by God. That should be your main concern in life. Most people are indifferent to the first, and they are presuming on the second. Most people blindly and wrongly believe that they are already in themselves acceptable to God, and that there is nothing more to be done in the matter. It's the way they think. They come at it like weather in the natural world. They think, I will breathe no matter what, but if it rains, I will have my umbrella. Or if it snows, my shovel is in the car. Or if it turns very sunny, put on my shades. But that is not the climate, and that is not the weather pattern in the spiritual world. The fact of the matter is that in ourselves, you and I are unacceptable to God, even as we're inside our house preparing to go outside our door. We are all sinners against God. We sin against Him each day in thought, word, and deed. We do it despite His only doing good toward us all the time. We are every time without excuse and very often without care of whether we either omit a command or commit disobedience. And therefore God, infinitely and eternally holy and just, must and will punish sin infinitely and eternally. He must and He will live up to His holy character in either punishing sin or forgiving sin. He need do the first. He may do the second. But in the cross of Jesus Christ, even Christ who died for sin once for all, the just for the unjust, He who knew no sin but became a sin offering for us, God accomplished both of those. He had to do one, He might do the other, but in the cross of Jesus Christ, He did both. He punished sin, and He opened up the ground on which a sinner can be accepted with a holy God. He judged sin, and He opened up a fountain of cleansing for sin and impurity. He made everlasting peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy God saved and accepted sinners, whosoever of them will repent of sin and believe on Jesus Christ, their substitute, dying in their place to receive the just penalty, and Himself being a ground on which they can be welcomed into the favor of God. Jesus took what we deserve, and He opened up what we do not deserve. And so Paul said to the Romans, therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. God has accepted us who believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus' death at the cross was the sacrifice. It is the ground on which, the only ground on which you can be accepted before God. And therefore, it is at the same time the ground of all thanks that you would bring to God. Is there anything more worthy than this? Is there anything better, anything more solid, anything more praiseworthy or thankworthy? Is an answered prayer for temporal things more than this? Is getting what you want in life or out of life more? Is some birthday present or Christmas gift more than what God offers you through faith in Jesus Christ? They are not. None of these, though we should give thanks for every one of them, pales in comparison to the indescribable gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. What matters most to you, for which you should be everlastingly grateful, is that God has accepted you in Jesus Christ. Are you, friend? Does your conscience say amen to that? Does your heart sort of skip a beat as if running too fast because you heard that? Does the Holy Spirit impress on you some real comfort that says, I have, and I know that, and I am thankful for that? The Lord drew attention to this gospel of Jesus Christ and its core event of the cross here at the sacrifices in, yes, Leviticus. The Holy Spirit, through Moses, has preached the gospel. You look at it in chapter 7, verse 15. And what do we read about but the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving, peace offerings? Verse 18, so if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering should ever be eaten on the third day, he who offers it will not be accepted. In other words, the burnt offering of a sacrificial animal is what's here at view. Much of this follows on Leviticus 3, where you can read about that offering in greater detail. Basically, the animal, whichever it was to be slain, and it was to be cut up by the priest. Blood would be drained. It would be spattered upon the altar. And then the fat and the flesh would be offered up on the altar as the best portions of that sacrifice to God. And then the priest would take either the breast or the right thigh, and after eating it, he would wave it before the Lord on behalf of the worshiper. When the offering was offered, it was considered a soothing aroma. Now, to carnal nostrils, that would smell awful. But spiritually, to holy nostrils, if we could personify God that way, as Scripture does, it's a soothing aroma. You drive by a dead skunk, as you may have over here today, and you smell, but to God, the sacrifice, the gore, the blood of Jesus Christ is a soothing aroma. It pacifies God. It appeases God. It satisfies him from his wrath against sin, such that it effects, as it were, a soothing with God. God is satisfied. He's at peace with whoever comes on the ground and the merits of Jesus' death. It says, God, I want to be accepted with you. I want my sins to not be an issue with your holy wrath that I be condemned to hell forever. And God says, there is a sacrifice offered. It's the flesh. It's the human body of our Lord Jesus Christ offered once for all at Calvary. So you see that, as Leviticus would say in chapter 17, verse 14, that the life is in the blood. And when blood is shed, that is the pouring out, that is the draining, the going of life from whatever is that sacrifice. And thus we read of the blood of the sacrificial animal. And as Hebrews has made mention of many times, the blood of Jesus Christ. Leviticus 22, verse 29, you shall offer this sacrifice that you may be accepted. Apart from Jesus Christ, you have no acceptance with God. But the gospel is preached, however many your sins are, however high they stack, however deep they drill into the earth, you can be forgiven. A sacrifice has been made. And so you come and have peace with God while he's offering reconciliation. We beseech you, be reconciled to God. In both these instances, the worship ordinance of the sacrifice of thanksgiving is based on the shedding of blood in the peace offering. That's what was there in Leviticus chapter 7. It was showing that a worshiping sinner is reconciled to God on that basis, and he is accepted by God in that very belief and holding to that. And so here, Christ's death has been set forth. This is what it is preaching. Christ's sacrifice is the ground of all thanks given to God. How sobering a truth that is. There are many people in the world who may thank God for something, whether it's the shallow, well, thank God for that thanksgiving, or whether it's the God, I thank you that I am not like other people of hypocritical and false religion. And yet nothing that the world says in this kind of thanksgiving shows any feeling in their heart of being accepted by God. If they engage in religious thanksgiving, they do not come with peace offerings that are established in the blood of Jesus Christ. They have no ground. They have no basis to come with thanksgiving. They are as Cain, whom and whose offering was rejected. They are like Nadab and Abihu, who come with this strange offering of fire. It is not as God has required. There is an acceptable way to do many things. And the acceptable way to bring your thanks to God is only through Jesus Christ. It's only that you be reconciled to God and in his favor. With thanksgiving, Christ's sacrifice is the ground of all acceptable thanks to God. And so when you say to God, God, I thank you, have this in your mind, have this in your heart, that you don't have to go through thanking God on the basis of your own shed blood, that the way to thank God is by enduring suffering and the pains of hell and God's condemnation. That's a long, impossible route for you or me. But with Christ, there's ready access in the ground of acceptance. But we take the other side of this as though we're changing the head of the coin from heads to tails. And we see here our sacrifice as the expression of thanks. God means for you personally and heartily to express your thanks. There's a difference between just saying thank you and being thankful. Many people can say thank you, and yet they're distracted doing something else. It's a mere cursory thank you. No attention to the person, no contact, no sharing in the giving and receiving. All it is a thank you. Thanks. We may check ourselves on our giving thanks. Is it heartily expressed? How does it come forth? What is provided for you should be confessed by you. The Hebrew word for giving thanks is the same word often translated as confessing. Not confessing sin as so much as professing. Confessing our faith. Declaring. Proclaiming what is true of God. And in this very act of rendering thanks to God, there is a communion. There is an exchange that God has provided for you, and you as the provided recipient comes back with thanks to Him personally. He is the giver. He is the provider. He is the blesser. You are the receiver, the provided, and the one relying on the one who has so blessed you. This is altogether personal. The only way these persons are bound together is with Jesus Christ in between. And so you cannot truly give thanks to God unless you realize that Jesus has something, indeed everything significant for what you're giving thanks for and to whom you're giving it. We read, interestingly, some 30 times in the Psalter of the sacrifice of thanksgiving or giving thanks to God. And usually, I think, we would come at that in sort of the spontaneous, personal, informal, and casual thanksgiving to God in terms of our personal experience. But it's interesting that these statements reflect what we just read in Leviticus, that there is something a little more formal about this. There's something even more planned. There's something commanded in terms of a ceremony or an ordinance, and it is something that is public. I think every instance in which thanksgiving is given in the Old Testament, there's always something that should be public or wished would be public. I'm thinking of like Daniel in chapter 6, where he's on his knees, as is his custom, and he's giving his thanks to God. I think that Daniel would have rather have done that as the law prescribed in the promised land. There's always this understanding that if you thank God under the Old Testament, it's with the priest, it's with the sacrifice, and the means of worship that God has ordained. Do we merely and come short of our thanksgiving to God when it's just personal with us and God? I don't think there's anything wrong with that, of course. But are we coming short in it by not being the spirit of that woman who lost the coin in her house? And when she found the coin, she went and told all the neighbors. There is, I will give thanks among the nations. Do we come short in our thanksgiving and expressing it when we just do it to God? Do we not want to tell other people? Do we not want to send an email out to our brothers and sisters and say, I'm so thankful today. This is what the Lord did for me. I think that would go a lot further and yield more fruit than just the entirely right, entirely proper thanksgiving of God in the personal and the secret. This is the foundation, a public thanksgiving of what we each individually have received from God. Moses, under the Spirit's inspiration, prescribed the way of thanksgiving. He showed the ground on which it is to be given. It was grounded on sacrifice. And as an accompany to that, there was the believer bringing the cakes and the wafers and something that with the priest would be edible. They'd bring their own expression on the basis of the sacrifice, in connection with the sacrifice. It's enlightening then when we read even those many New Testament descriptions and statements of being thankful for all things in the name of Jesus Christ, always giving thanks for all things in the name of Jesus Christ to God our Father. We ought to read those against the backdrop of Leviticus. There's something public about this, involving other people. But just what sort of sacrifice of thanksgiving is this that we bring, that we express? You can find it in various places. For example, Psalm 50, in which we're singing today, Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Pay your vows to the Most High. It seems here that this is answered prayer, as we often see in the Psalms. Do we not, when we pray, we're asking God because there's an end in ourselves. We don't have the resources. We don't have the means. We don't have the strength. We've tried and we've failed. We pray and God gives freely, graciously. Sacrifice of thanksgiving seems in part to answered prayers or vows that have been done. In Psalm 107, there's another interesting use of this phrase at verse 22 and 23. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. Who are these people? Well, these are those that were healed, those that were brought out of their distresses. And even verse 23, those who go down to the sea in ships. A lot of sailors in history have been thankful for traveling mercies. We read of Jonah. You can read of many instances in England's history of seafaring men who came to be converted because they saw the saving work of God and knew it in Jesus Christ as Jonah's sailmen and sailors did. And they thanked God with an offering of thanksgiving. There are traveling mercies. How many times is it that we've avoided some car crash? Or we've come upon a car crash, and if we weren't delayed in getting our coat caught in the door or having to start the car a second time, 10 seconds ahead, that could have been us in the crash. Such things, so many things that our times are in God's hands and for traveling mercies. The Lord has blessed our going out and our coming in again. We offer the sacrifice of thanksgivings. In Psalm 116, verse 17, To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. This is one who's dealt with the near experience of death. Death is a real thing. We've seen others walk in a valley of the shadow of death. We grieve about it ourselves. And we see the Lord being a constant help in all our times of trouble. The psalmist here is showing us that for our personal deliverances, helping us through the valley of the shadow of death, God is to be thanked. These are just some of the ways, some of the reasons that there is the sacrifice of thanksgiving in the scripture. What then is your sacrifice of thanksgiving? What are you thankful for today? What will you give thanks for this coming Thanksgiving Day? You'll have an opportunity Thursday morning at 10 o'clock to publicly come to this very building and say, here is my sacrifice of thanksgiving, and do that publicly among the people of God. What prayers have been answered? How has your way been blessed? What's the deliverance you've known from the hand of the Lord? Think, meditate, list, start, and do not stop. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. I think that you and I will be challenged in this path. It is called a sacrifice of thanksgiving. There are times we'll be challenged with forgetfulness. There are times that we'll say, I gave thanks for that last week. There are times that we won't feel like giving thanks. There will be times when you're struggling with discontentment and you don't even have what you'd like to give thanks for. You should give thanks that you're praying for it and you know that God is hearing. And you, by His grace, believe that He will answer. Shall Christ have some matter of suffering and sacrifice for us. And yet you and I not have any element of sacrifice or suffering when it comes to the sacrifice of thanksgiving. There's some hard points about it. God calls us to render a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, to do that, there are three things here we'll touch on rather briefly that might help you with certain puzzling questions about this passage in Leviticus. They help you give a fuller thanksgiving. You may ask, why leavened bread, why leavened cakes and wafers in the offering? We read about that in chapter 7:13. It's mentioned a couple other places. Isn't it the case that in Scripture, unleavened bread is required? And yet here we read of leaven. Well, it seems to be, as much as I can understand in studying it, is that the unleavened cakes were for the priests, and the leavened ones were for the worshiper eating with that priest. And if you remember with leaven, leaven testifies to remaining sin. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, Scripture tells us. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The Lord requires there even to be leaven in the cakes. It seems to me that this is the Lord's way of saying, even in your offering, it's going to be mingled with shortcomings, sins. The sins you confess, you don't see how far and wide and deep they go. The sins for which you're thankful that they're forgiven, you don't have a love for obedience as much as you should. And so put some leaven in those cakes that you bring with your thanksgiving sacrifice. Be honest about your remaining sin. One commentator notes that the worshiper was already in a reconciled state with God. The peace offering was already and distinct from the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so there seems to be, as God chided sinning Israel through Amos, offer a thank offering also from that which is leavened. Be honest that your thanksgiving has mixtures of unbelief and elements of ingratitude for other things that you're not mentioning when you give thanks. We should be humbled by remaining sin, but let us remember our reconciling God, our atoning Savior, and go forth and thank God all the same. Secondly, why was it to be eaten soon? Specifically, it had to be eaten on the day it was offered, no more than the third day. Leviticus 7 and verses 15 to 18, and again in chapter 22, verse 30. Well, a ready answer is that it's a hot climate. Who likes spoiled food? None of us do. And so at that level, there's that basic point, but I think the reason is that it be emphasized by the worshiper that what I'm thanking God for is of great worth. It is valuable. It's something to focus on today, urgently, quickly, readily, as if a Passover eaten in haste, we do it in one day. We're decisive about our thanksgiving. When you're really hungry, don't you tend to eat pretty quickly? When you really love what you're eating and you have a hunger and a thirst, you chow it down or you woof it down. In the same way, our giving thanks and those leavened cakes and wafers, we do it on that day. We get it done with. I think additionally, it's because whatever zeal or whatever fervor the worshiper came with his sacrifice of thanksgiving, as you and I know, that may soon wane. How quickly we forget what we're thankful for. We turn ungrateful. Religious zeal can wane. Do it today. Do it the day you offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalmist strikingly says, you know, the day I called, you answered. When the day God answers, should we not give thanks that same day? Makes a lot of sense to me. Shall we not thank God the day God answers? We have the expression with food, get it while it's hot. We speak of strike while the iron is hot. And so offer your thanksgiving, eat it the same day. Don't dither with this stuff. The glory of God, the glory of Christ is here. It seems to be that it's a broad foreshadowing of Jesus' death and resurrection. Whenever you read of the third day in Scripture, that's what it's pointing to. It's a flashing light that's going on for you to see. And the point is that no sacrifice for sin is one that remains as is and goes beyond the third day. You don't get to day four and have the same sacrifice in its spoiling, rotting condition. There must be a change. It must all be done by the time that third day dawns. Don't you dare come to give thanks with the kind of sacrifice past day three. That sacrifice must have been done with, and there's got to be a change, and you're considering it on day three. Well, what does this mean? It means it was impossible for him to be held in death's power. Acts chapter 2. He was neither abandoned, nor did his flesh suffer decay. And so God in Leviticus is saying, because my son is going to rise from the dead, don't you think of this sacrifice as just being the same come day four or day three. You look at the sacrifice for what it is as the burnt offering and the peace offering. And that third day ought to have a total change, such that if you think of that sacrifice the same old pre-3-day way, that's not acceptable. Can we actually confess that we don't need a risen Savior to be acceptable with God? Can we say that Jesus under all decay is sufficient as a Savior? No. You need to eat the sacrifice and deal with it for all of its day one and two up to day three. That after the third day, the sacrifice has already been offered. And day three has brought a change. You open the refrigerator and you may see leftovers. Many of us don't like leftovers. Even if you like leftovers, I don't particularly mind eating leftovers at all. But there is most often, all illustrations break down, but most often the food tastes better the first day. It tastes better at the restaurant when they just bring it out and you didn't have to cook it. But you take it out of the refrigerator 3 days later, you put it in the microwave, it's not as good. It's not as good. Leftovers are not what it is when it comes to the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We eat it while it's hot. The worshiper would come to Christ, come with thanks while there's time to come. Today is the day of salvation. That's the scripture's appeal to whosoever will and hears. Today is the day of salvation. Christ has been offered. Are you thankful that there's peace with God despite your being a sinner? You eat the sacrifice and you bring the sacrifice of thanksgiving on the day that it's offered. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. It seems that it's to be seen by the worshiper how earnest God is, that we have a closing with Christ and we truly understand the significance of his death and his resurrection. God is concerned that you, on the day you bring your thanks, have assurance of his abiding love for you. Thirdly, how is it that I sacrifice so that I may be accepted? I thought my sacrifice of thanksgiving comes because I am accepted. And I am one who's reconciled with God. Hasn't he already accepted me? What is this sort of thanksgiving then? Am I gaining? Am I earning? Am I achieving thanks and acceptance with God? No. It's the heart's expression of thanks bound up in a recognition of Christ's sacrifice. You don't just come with your words. Because if you're like me, your words fall short in the presence of God. Imagine giving thanks to God without Jesus' sacrifice. You would not be accepted. You forgot this, you forgot that, you don't realize what you're saying as fully as you do. It's imperfect. With the ground of Christ, your sacrifice may be weak, may be incomplete, but it's sincere. And God has that offering on the solid ground of Christ's own sacrifice. Our sacrifice that we bring is right here. It's not a reoffering of Christ's sacrifice. It is a recognition as the Eucharist, the giving of thanks, that everything for which we're praying that we receive from God in the Christian life is on the grounds of Christ's death. And our giving thanks and our offering up is nothing more than the psalmist saying in Old Testament times, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and I'll call on the name of the Lord. I will offer my thanksgivings to God in the midst of his people, and I will pay my vows." That's our thanksgiving. You look at this, and it's on the ground of Jesus' sacrifice once for all. How many and abounding thanksgivings we bring on the basis of that. That's why Jesus showed us how we do it. He took the bread, and he gave thanks. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks. He was anticipating the offering of his peace offering, sacrifice of thanksgiving. And when we come and in remembrance of him bring our thanks, it's complete. God and sinners reconciled in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, on which thanksgivings come weakly but sincerely. So we have these two things, Christ's sacrifice, the ground of thanks, our sacrifice, an expression of thanks. What God has joined together, let us not separate. We bring our thanks on the ground of Christ. Let us pray and in due time bring our thanks. Father, we rejoice that we have Christ as our Savior, and we're challenged in our thoughts, challenged with our own hearts, that even our sacrifice of thanksgiving is often less than what it should be, less what it could be. We pray that as we consider from Leviticus, that you would make us like Hebrews to bring the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess or give thanks in his name. Lord, fill out in our understanding and our practice gratitude. Lead us away from our discontentment, our bitterness, our unthankfulness. And Lord, make us to be ready conveyors to you of how grateful we are for the wide extent of your mercies each day. Lord, help us, keep us, and further the work of grace on this very matter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.